Good morning. Thank you for that. So I'm going to start this morning's talk by reading from Exodus chapter 12 and verse 21. It jumps around a bit, but here we go. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb." Then jumping to 24. "Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.'" Then we jump forward another few verses to 31, where the Exodus is authorized. "During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go worship the Lord as you requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go and bless me.'" So remembering things is very important. It's important to set aside time to remember stuff also. The Jewish people have been remembering this event for 3,000, 3,500, maybe 3,800 years since the Passover first happened. And when their children ask them, even today, they recount the story of their salvation, the salvation of the people as they left Egypt. So too today, we remember the many men and women who have died in defence of this country. And they're not just people in the armed forces from the UK. There are many people from other countries, the Polish people and many others from all around Europe and Russia, the Indian people, the Burmese, and folks from many African nations and also from the US and Canada. Indeed, it's not just the armed forces that we need to remember for their acts of self-sacrifice and bravery, for there are many others in the Merchant Navy, in the Home Guard, the police, the paramedics, the fire brigade, and also miners and munitions workers. All sorts of different people have been involved one way or another. And in our most recent battle against the pandemic, our medical teams have worked selflessly, endangering their mental and physical health to fight this terrible virus. And even some have died of the virus themselves. Through conflict after conflict in the 20th and 21st centuries, there are countless people around the world seeking justice, equity, and democracy, and they have risked everything. Most conflicts are founded in greed or are rooted in horrendous injustice. We live in a world of massive inequity. Sadly, for many, that inequity is just getting worse. So this time to remember is also a time to take stock. It's a time to look around our world and ask ourselves what we're going to do about it. For we are one world. That's very clear. A pandemic has shown us that we are united in our suffering. Densely populated countries like our own and many of the nations of Europe, along with places like India, have been horribly affected. One would expect sparsely populated countries like the US to escape more likely, but their politicians have perhaps mismanaged things in their response to the disease. We need to recognise that we are one world, and the suffering of the people in one nation will impact everyone. As refugees flee conflict and pour into their neighbouring countries, we see a vision of a much worse future. For if we think of the pandemic, if we think that's bad, then I have to say we're likely to see much worse once climate change gets a grip on our world. Christian Aid and Tear Fund are focused on this impending disaster. Why are they so concerned about the climate, you might ask? Have you asked why they should care about it so much, but It's in almost all of their literature. It's because the poorest will suffer the most and suffer first from the greed and lack of care that we continue to exhibit in the richer developed nations. These charities know that the disaster has already arrived for many people subsisting in marginal lands. You may not be aware, but since the time of the First World War, the global sea levels have risen by 15 centimetres, 6 inches. And over the next 30 years, this will have risen again by another 45 centimetres, another 18 inches. Well, that might not seem much. You know, here's my 45 centimetre ruler. It doesn't look like much, but what it means is that in the next 30 years, 200 million people in this world will have to move and find new homes. That's a minimum. That's a population of 3 times the number of people who live in the UK are going to be on the move. They'll have to move because they're where they live just now will become underwater. The upheaval and the strife that this is likely to produce is going to be horrific. And it'll not just be people who suffer, but large areas of our world will be spoiled, and many plant and animal habitats will be lost along with the species that depend upon them. Here in the Wirral, a 60 centimetre sea level rise will threaten species like the natterjack toad and the very rare Wirral horsetail. It's a plant that's so rare that it only lives between the Dee estuary and the Royal Liverpool Golf Course. And incidentally, the only botanical illustration of this strange prehistoric plant is the one painted by Jenny. This might be a tiny loss, but as this is multiplied around the globe, from here to Australia's Barrier Reef, the destruction will be appalling. So as we remember, let us also be part of reducing the future instability of God's world. I know I've said it this before, but we mustn't be too depressed about climate change. Defeatism will not help us to turn the situation round. We may have been taken by surprise, but God most certainly has not. He knew we would mess up this world. He knew that it would happen right now. He understands the human condition much better than we do. He knows that we are greedy and exploitative, and that we would take his command to be stewards of his world and make it mean, do whatever you want. Now we need to go back to being stewards. And God in his mercy will be party to the solution. I'm sure of that. That's the way he works. We've messed it up, but the world will heal if we stop wrecking it. I believe that God has made this world that way. But this will only work if we play our part. Just like everything else in the spiritual arena, God calls us to put our faith and trust in him. And then he imputes to us a righteousness that is not ours and we do not deserve. We are justified by that faith in the living, saving work of the Lord. And that needs to touch every aspect of our lives. Every aspect. And it needs to touch every aspect of the life of our church and the life of the worldwide church. So as we faithfully partner with God in bringing salvation stories into the lives of those around us and show ourselves selfless in the way that we support the needy and combat climate change, then we will see change happen in the personal, national, and global spheres of life. With God, all things are possible. As for me, I want to tell my children's children that when I saw the climate change disaster coming at us over the horizon, I took action. I do not want to be like the prophet Joel. This is Joel, chapter 1, Verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. A nation has invaded my land. It has laid waste my vines and ruined my fig trees. Joel was a bit depressed. Bad things were happening. But I want to remember the salvation story of Exodus before my children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. I want to recall the promise of Genesis 8. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between you and me and every living creature with you. A covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. If we play our part in reversing this catastrophe that we have brought upon ourselves, then good things will happen. The world will heal, and it will be still there in a good state for our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and onwards. But we are at a critical moment. We need to partner with God in healing his world. Let us be part of that solution, wholeheartedly, vigorously, and let us protect the downtrodden and reduce the inequality in our world. Let us just have a moment of quiet and then pray. Lord, have mercy on our world. As we recall those who have died to keep our part of the world free and democratic, we also want to work with you to prevent the future climate catastrophe. Use us, we pray, use your church here in West Kirby and around the world to work with you to bring healing to this hurting world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.